This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuck Reshow. Hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Thursday night with you. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. We're asking the question. I'm asking the question. Where does Kyle Pitts rank among tight ends in the NFL? Do I think that Kyle Pitts has the ability to be the best tight end in the NFL? Yes. I do think that he can be a game-changing tight end. Do I think he's the best right now? No. That's reserved for Travis Kelce. Now, when I've talked repeatedly on the show about the idea of he's got to be Kelce-like, Day-Day, here is Travis Kelce's last 3 years, his three-year average, right? Not just last year, but for the last 3 years. He's averaged 144 targets, 102 receptions, 1,293 yards, 11 touchdowns, with a 71.2% catch percentage. Okay? So 102 catches, 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns. That's his three-year average. Now, Kyle Pitts last year, and this is not all his fault, obviously, but the big number that stands out to me, one is the touchdowns. He's got 3 touchdowns in 2 years. Now, again, he only played 10 games last year, but in 25 games, he's got 3 touchdowns. Travis Kelce has averaged 11 touchdowns a year for 3 years in a row. A year, 11. Our guy's got 3 for his career. The catch percentage is what really concerns me, not because it's all Kyle Pitts' fault, because you divide the number of receptions by targets. And last year, Kyle Pitts had 59 targets with only 28 receptions, 47.5%. Now, that's all on Marcus Mariota. Because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, Kyle Pitts would get open and they could not make a play to him down deep. That's all on Marcus Mariota. I don't want to hear anything else. I mean, again, yes, you can have some drops and different things like that, right? And Pitts has had, his other metrics and stuff like that, but I don't have the drop percentage on this here, but he certainly has some drops. But a large part of that is because our quarterback couldn't throw it in the ocean if he had to. So I expect that number to go up. I expect his catch percentage to go up. But when I talk about Travis Kelce, Like, if we're going to – Travis Kelce is a real game changer, right? Now, do I think, by the way, Kyle Pitts is number two? I don't think he's number two either. I think George Kittle is a guy. I would put George Kittle as the number two tight end in football. Last season, 60 catches, 765 yards, but 11 touchdowns with a 70% catch percentage. Now, by the way, that's Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance throwing to him. Okay? Not exactly Tom Brady and Aaron. So he's still got a 70% catch percentage. But on 60 catches, he's got 11 touchdowns. 11 touchdowns in 60 catches. Then from there, it gets a little bit tricky. You know, the other guy that I really like in this discussion is Mark Andrews of the Baltimore Ravens. And obviously, you know, in some ways, we should look at Kyle Pitts like Mark Andrews, because you've got a quarterback that, you know, should feature a guy like that. Andrews, by the way, 73 catches, 847 yards, and 5 touchdowns last year. Now, again, that is with who was the guy? Huntley. Was it Huntley? That was Tyler Huntley that was throwing to him. Obviously, Lamar didn't play a whole year, so that's a lot of Tyler Huntley throwing to him. Andrews, by the way, the year before, 107 catches, 1,361 yards, and 9 touchdowns. By the way, Andrews has got 34 touchdowns in 5 years. 34 touchdowns in 5 years. So he's averaging almost 7 touchdowns a season, right? He's had a 10-touchdown year, a 7-touchdown year, and a 9-touchdown year. He's averaging almost 7 touchdowns a year for 5 years running. And that's why I say Kyle Pitts, to be a game-changing guy for where he was drafted, if this isn't fair, I'm sorry, but he's got to be Travis Kelce-like. He's got to have that kind of impact. And while we talked about Jesse Bates last night, that it's not necessarily all about the numbers, when you have Kyle Pitts, it's about the numbers. It's all about the numbers. Travis Kelce isn't a 1,026-yard guy. He's a 1,400-yard guy. He's not a 2-touchdown guy. He's, you know, last year was a 12 touchdowns. 11 touchdowns, 9 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns in the last 3 years. That's where our guy has to be. 1,416 yards, 1,125 yards, 1,338 yards. That's where our guy has to live. 72% catch percentage. That's where our guy has to live. 12.2 yards per reception. That's where our guy has to live. Pitts is there with the yards per reception. But the catch percentage, the touchdowns, and the yards are all drastically off. And I certainly know that Desmond Ridder is going to play a big part in all this, right? Because, again, we talk about four things have to happen before Kyle Pitts can go out there and make plays. You got to have your line block. You got to have your quarterback. He's got to be able to have time in the pocket. He's got to be able to throw. He's got to make an accurate throw, right? All these things that have to happen. So that's why when we talk about Kyle Pitts needing to have this kind of year, he's got to be in that top 1, 2, 3 discussion. And I think he's close. I think that he's close to that. I don't think he's 1, 2, 3 in the NFL. I think Mark Andrews is probably the third best tight end. And Kyle Pitts is probably, you know, somewhere below that, right? Just probably below. If you want to say Darren Waller is a guy, okay. I mean, I won't have much of an argument with that. But again, you know, Darren Waller is a guy who, you know, has played for he's had a good quarterback, but he hasn't necessarily played for a very good team. And Waller's been a guy, obviously the injuries and things like that, disappointing year last year, but at his peak, 2020 in the pandemic year, 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns. That's in 74% catch percentage. 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, 74% catch percentage. That's where our guy's got to live. That's where our guy has to live. Or it starts to get to be, okay, I mean, what is Kyle Pitts? I'm not saying it's a make or break year or anything like that, crazy, but it's time for him to step up and have that Travis Kelce kind of year. You can't tell me, you can't brag to me about guys being unicorns and then, you know, we don't have the yardage, we don't have the touchdowns. I mean, isn't a unicorn supposed to be a guy that would score a lot of touchdowns? And yeah. Isn't that what a unicorn would be?
Yeah.
You know, Waller, who only played 6 games, or I should say played 9 games and started 6 last year, he still had 3 touchdowns. He still had 3 touchdowns in 9 games and 6 starts. It's not a bad number. And obviously he's been battling injuries for the last 2 years. But he had back-to-back almost 1,200-yard seasons. And then he peaked at 9 touchdowns in 2020. That's got to be where our guy lives. 90 receptions in 19, 107 in 2020. Like, that's where our guy has to live. Drake London and all these kinds of guys, again, they'll get their touches and all this, that, and the other. But our guy's got to figure out a way to be in that Travis Kelce discussion. He's got to be able to influence a game. And when we talk about, okay, how do the Falcons get themselves to be an elite team in the red zone? Well, that's got to start with Kyle Pitts. And I mean, it's got to start with Kyle Pitts, right? He's got to be that kind of difference maker for our offense. I'll even take for Kyle Pitts, if you told me Kyle Pitts was, say, receptions, 800 yards, and 14 touchdowns, okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'm about scoring touchdowns with guys like that. When I have Pitts and some of these guys, it's all about what they can score touchdown-wise. And again, I don't want to hear about, you know, double-teaming and all this kind of stuff. Everybody gets double-teamed in the NFL. Everybody gets double- and triple-teamed in the NFL. Yet everybody can always find a way to score touchdowns except our players, right? Julio, Pitts. Like, we got all these unicorns, and we never find a way to capitalize on them, right? Everybody gets double-teamed. Did A.J. Brown ever get double-teamed? Does Mike Evans get double-teamed? Let those guys figure out ways to get it done, right? So that's why I say Kyle Pitts has got to have that kind of year. We have to start talking about him being in the top tier of tight ends in the NFL. Now that he's in his third year, okay, we see quarterbacks all the time make that big leap in their third year. Well, I need Kyle Pitts to make that big leap in his third year as well. And that's, you know, truthfully, it's going to be 100-plus catches, 1,200-plus yards, and at least 10 touchdowns. If he can get that, now we got something. Because our offense will be really good if he's leading the way with those kinds of numbers. And we will be that 67%, I think, you know, red zone type of offense. We'll be in those kinds of numbers that we're looking for, right? 67% red zone touchdown numbers. That's where we got to be. And a lot of that's going to start with Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, a lot of it's going to start with those two guys. But now it's time for Pitts to be a unicorn and figure out how to be a true difference maker in the NFL. All right, when we come back, it'll be time for That's Life. Rule number one, never touch the animals. Plus our top 10 as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios 920. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. At JMCH316, at D. Lewis for real. Get to our top 10 here in just a little bit. Day-Day.
Yes, sir.
Says Yellowstone National Park has had to euthanize a bison calf because of encounters between a park visitor and the calf. So, says that officials at Yellowstone National Park say they were forced to put down a newborn bison calf after another unfortunate encounter between a park visitor and wildlife. So an unidentified man was a bison calf had separated from its mother and herd, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was crossing the Lamar River in the park. The calf was struggling, and the man helped push the calf up from the river and onto the roadway, okay?
Okay.
Now, park regulators tell you to stay at least 25 yards away from most of the animals, including 100 yards away from bears and wolves, right?
Right.
So they say that approaching wild animals can affect their well-being and their ability to survive. And again, they say that a 72-year-old woman recently was gored by a bison at Yellowstone because she was trying to take a picture with it.
Oh.
So the calf was later seen that this guy helped rescue.
Right.
The calf was later seen by visitors walking up to and following both cars and people. And it was creating a hazard for those nearby. Quote, interference by people can cause wildlife to reject their offspring. They said the park rangers failed to be able to reunite the calf with the herd and its mother, and they decided that they had to euthanize the calf because it was abandoned by its herd and it was causing a hazardous situation to approaching cars and people along the roadway. Said they released an unidentified image of the man lifting the calf from the river. They say if found guilty of any wrongdoing, the man could be charged with a Class B misdemeanor and could face up to 6 months in jail and a $5,000 fine.
Wow.
The charge would include disturbing wildlife, disorderly conduct, and approaching wildlife. The National Park Services is asking for anyone who was in the area on May 20th and has any information to contact the Yellowstone National Park trip line. But again, you know, I know people like to see the animals in the wild and this, that, and the other, but you're not doing an... Look, you're going to go home to your house.
Right.
The calf is trying to go home with you.
Right.
You know, this is not... what was that movie? What was the movie with Billy Crystal and Jack Palance? Where they were on holiday and...
City Slickers. Yes.
Yeah, this isn't City Slickers. It's not cool to go up to the wild animals.
Yes.
And again, you know, you go up to a wild animal like that, what happens if you encounter its mother?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But again, I know people want to, I know people think they're doing the right thing by, you know, helping the animals and stuff like that. But guess what? That's called natural selection. That's what it is. The strong will survive. If that calf can't make it, then the calf dies, and again, it will just go back to nature, right? I mean, that's how that works in the social circle of animal life. I get the idea of, you know, feeling good, but again, you know, you approach the wrong animal, you know, and people get gored by these animals and stuff like that. I don't have sympathy for some of these people, though. Like, when they get gored, like, again, you're supposed to stay far away from bears and things like that. Like, they're not tame. They're not they're not pets.
They're caught wild for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, I mean, when it comes to John Chukri, listen, Georgia rattlesnakes don't make good house pets, right? Anyway. That was the old Jim Ross line.
Yeah.
Rattlesnakes don't make good corporate pets. Anyway, how about this? Scientists say that they found a chapter of the Bible hidden under a section of text for more than 1,000 years. Scientists say that they have found an old version of a Bible chapter that was hidden underneath a section of text for more than 1,500 years. Grigory Kessel, a historian at the Austrian Academy of Sciences, announced the discovery earlier this year in an article in New Testament Studies, a peer-reviewed academic journal published by Cambridge University Press. He said he used ultraviolet photography to see the earlier text under three layers of words written on a palimpsest, an ancient manuscript that people used to use to write over other words, but often left traces of the original writing behind. They were used in ancient times due to the scarcity of parchment. Words would be written on the material repeatedly until several layers covered the hidden words underneath.
Wow.
So you know, like how when you go and write, you take your pen and you like the word S, and you'll draw it like five different times to darken it, and make it look, you know. So that's how they discovered this. They said in a news release that the text was an extended, unseen version of chapter 12 in the book of Matthew. that was originally part of the old Syriac translations of the Bible some 1,500 years ago. Said he made the discovery in the manuscript held at the Vatican Library. They said the manuscript offers a unique gateway for researchers to understand the earliest phases of the Bible's textual evolution, according to the news release. For instance, according to the release, original Greek version of Matthew 12:1, which is the most commonly used today, said, quote, "At the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat." The new version is slightly different. It said, "began to pick the heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and then eat them." Now, I don't know what the big difference is, I mean, other than rubbing them in their hands, but it is interesting that that's what they're talking about in there. So there you go. New Bible verses and things like that.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool, though, actually.
To
discover something like that. All right. Happy birthday today to Mike Myers. Obviously, one of the great cast members of SNL of all time. Obviously, Austin Powers. Have you ever seen the movie? This, I'm telling you, like, this is his funniest movie. It's not Wayne and Garth and Austin Powers. Have you ever seen the movie So I Married an Axe Murderer?
I remember it. And it's one of those movies where it was like it would be on in the background because I didn't go see it in the theater. But like it would come on and I would just let it stay on. So I never paid attention to it. But I do remember that movie.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very. What is her name? Nancy Travis, I believe, is in that movie. That's his girlfriend or whatever. Very funny movie. Very, very funny.
He plays his
father in the movie as an older, like he's dressed up as an older character.
Right.
Very funny movie. The whole thing with the poet, he's at one of those bars where they read poetry or whatever like that. They recite poems and they got the jazz band and so funny. Very, very funny movie. That's his best movie.
Okay.
That's his best movie. So with that tonight, tonight's top 10 list. Not your favorite cast members, but your least favorite cast members from Saturday Night Live of all time. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right, so I know I'll probably catch a lot of heat for some of these, but I don't care because it's just my least favorite. Doesn't mean I don't like them at all. Just least favorite, all right? So at the top, believe it or not, I got David Spade.
Oh, I've got David Spade on my list as well.
Yeah.
Not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not funny.
No,
I mean, sorry, but I mean, he's on my list as well.
Dana Carvey.
Oh.
Sorry, I just don't. He doesn't do it for me. Sorry.
You know, his movies are awful.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's the movies.
Yes.
I think it's the movies.
His movies. That movie where he was, that movie where he played like all these different characters.
Yeah.
He was like a spy or something like that. But awful. Yeah. Like, his movies are awful.
Yeah, and it's hard for the stand-up, that Saturday Night Live skit stuff to translate into,
absolutely.
Big screen and all that stuff.
Right.
So I get it. One of the newer guys, I don't get the craze about him, but Pete Davidson.
He's on my list as well.
Like,
he's
not funny.
Not funny
at all.
I don't
see what the craze is about.
And he's banging everybody.
Right.
Like, he's got a list. I mean, he's banging everybody. Right? Ariana Grande and Kim Kardashian. Like, he's got a whole list of people, and he's not funny.
No.
He's not funny at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he jokes about, his dad died in the 9/11 attacks.
Oh, no.
His dad was in the World Trade Center.
Oh, wow.
And died in the 9/11 attacks.
Wow.
But he jokes about it. I mean, he's done roasts and different things like that.
Right.
He does make jokes about it. But again, his dad did die in the
9/11
attacks.
I did not know that.
But he's still not funny.
No, he's not.
He's not funny.
Yeah. Chris Farley, again, the movies.
Really?
Yeah, the movies. I just felt like he was over the top with some of his characters. Now, I did like, what's the one where him and Spade, his dad was the owner of the company.
Oh, was that wasn't Black Sheep.
No.
What's the other one that he did?
I can't remember that one. Because they did a couple together.
Yeah, his movies were okay, But I think he's very funny.
Yeah.
You know, when he's the motivational speaker in the van down by the river. Like, that was great stuff. And I think he was just naturally funny.
Yeah.
I do. I like him.
I will say I liked him better on SNL than I did in his movies.
Mm-hmm.
Tina Fey, I'm not really.
Really?
Yeah, she's okay. Like, she doesn't, you know, I don't get it. Leslie Jones. To me, she can be a little over the top.
I almost put her on my list.
Really?
I want to like her. I want to like her, but listen, that Ghostbusters movie they all did is dreadful.
Yeah.
So I
you almost had her down.
I almost put her down. I want to like her. I think she's kind of naturally funny.
Right.
And I want to like her, but I after seeing that Ghostbusters movie, I would have gone up to the if I would have went to the theater to see that movie, I would have gone up to the counter and
got your money back.
Yeah, demanded my money back. Yeah.
Yeah,
I would have thrown a fit if they wouldn't give me my money back.
All right, was it Amy Poehler?
Oh, Amy Poehler.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Listen, her and Tina Fey, when they host together on like these award shows,
now
like
that they do good to that, but
together.
On SNL.
Oh, I thought she's very funny. I thought she's always very funny.
Jay Farrell, he's hit or miss.
I have him on my list. I don't think he's funny
at
all.
Yeah, he's hit or miss.
He tries too hard. He's not funny.
And then lastly is Andy Samberg. And you know what? I think part of it for me is like SNL had like in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Murray and Eddie Murphy.
I mean,
John Belushi.
Say it in sports, they had studs.
But I will tell you though, I love Dana Carvey. The Phil Hartman era and all that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, Phil Hartman's one of the funniest characters of all time.
Right.
And I'll tell you, the guy who just left, I think Kenan Thompson's the most underrated. I think he's the most underrated cast member in history for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
he's phenomenal.
Yep.
Everything he did was funny.
Yep.
All right, here's my list. I got Jay Farrell on my list as well. I got David Spade on my list. I had Pete Davidson as well. Chris Kattan.
Okay.
you know, the what is it, Mongo or the Monkey Cat? Okay. I mean, I don't know. He's not funny, and he wasn't. And again, the reason that the Farrelly brothers was funny is because of Will Ferrell.
But because of Will Ferrell,
that's why they were funny. It wasn't because of Chris Kattan.
Right.
Bobby Moynihan, Horatio Sanz, who was there forever, and he wasn't funny. Michael Che is another one that isn't very funny. He does some of the whatever like that.
Right.
Colin, what is it, Jost or? The guy who's married Black Widow.
Yes, he's married, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah,
husband.
He's married to Scarlett Johansson. I don't know how he landed her, but he's not funny. He needs a punch in the face. But anyway, Brad Hall. Do you know who he is?
I don't. Who does he typically play?
He was in the with Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy.
Man.
So he's married to tall blonde guy. Tall blonde hair.
Okay,
he's married to. Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Okay.
The girl from Seinfeld.
Yeah,
and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's married to her. He's been married to her. They met on Saturday Night Live, and they've been married forever.
I love her, man. She's funny.
Yeah, she's funny, but he's not. He's not funny at all. And then my last one is from that group with Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman and those guys. Anna Gasteyer. Like, she's not funny at all. Like, I didn't find her funny,
you
go. All right, there's our top 10 list. give us your thoughts about who's not funny on Saturday Night Live. When we come back, our buddy Gabe Burns joined us earlier in the show, what he had to say. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery's show live on this Thursday evening with you. As a lot of things happening. Falcons are in OTA. Braves with a good win last night against the Dodgers. Now open up a big series against Philadelphia. Hawks, obviously. We're trying to figure out what the offseason is going to bring. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Gabe Burns. He's the sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. And he's on Twitter at Gabe Burns AJC. Gabe, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes with us tonight.
Absolutely. Always happy to come on.
Well, you know, I don't want to put too much into one particular game, but it did feel like last night was a game that the Braves really needed to win. I mean, obviously there's been struggles in the regular season the last couple of years against the Dodgers. Bryce Elder was really good last night, but that felt like a game that they just needed to kind of get off the schneid heading into this Philadelphia series.
You know, that's exactly what I told somebody right after it ended. I was like, man, they really needed that one. And I'm the king of kind of downplaying baseball in May, honestly. There's just not a lot of benefit to freaking out one way or another typically. But it did feel, you know, when Ozzie hits that sac fly, it did feel like a relief, right? And we know there's a strong history between these two clubs. And outside of the Braves getting them in 21, I mean, this team has really had a ton of success against the Braves. And there's not many teams who could say that since 2018. So it did feel, again, like, look, they had what I considered the worst series they've played in years in Toronto. And then they bounced back against Texas and Seattle, who we know are two good teams. This series, though, it felt like a letdown. You know, when you have Stone and Miller there, this felt like a series that you should have taken 2 out of 3, but the fact you weren't swept, you could just tell, even in just seeing the celebration last night, it really did. It felt like just a sigh of relief.
You know, Gabe, I think this is a big series starting with Philadelphia for this next 4 games. I mean, if you can take 3 out of 4, you really put a gut punch into Philadelphia, and they start to get, you know, pretty far behind. I mean, considering that you have to overcome 3 teams if you're going to win the division. But if Philadelphia can come in here and maybe take 3 out of 4, all of a sudden this gets to be a tight division race. It just feels like that this, I don't want to say it's going to define the season or anything like that. I mean, I'm not trying to be over the top, but there really does feel like this could be a swing series for these two clubs, you know, depending on which way this thing goes.
It's an important one. And I will say, when we look back on last year, there were several series against the Mets that we kind of pinpointed as, you know, this one's important for one or the other. And obviously, those two teams kind of traded blows. And then there at the very end, the Braves wound up winning it. But so you don't know how things are going to progress. But for where we are right now, this does feel big. And it's a heck of an opportunity for the Braves to really kind of just keep pushing the Phillies back, because I think the assumption that we're all making, and this might not come to fruition, but we're all making an assumption that this Phillies team is going to really wake up at some point, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to hit their stride. They're going to come. And at that point, it's just a matter of, you know, are the Braves going to be 8 or 9 games up at that point? Or is this going to be a 4 or 5 game difference where the Phillies can really close? So that when we're talking about, when I'm on here again in August and September and we're talking about all this, you know, these games they have a big effect. And the Phillies they have not played their best, nowhere close to it. I think we know the player Trey Turner is, certainly Braves fans know, with all the damage he's done to them over the years. And he has not been that guy yet. So there's a lot of things that haven't clicked for them. We're assuming eventually it will. But this is a big weekend as far as, yeah, can Philadelphia kind of keep this thing close and not, you know, let it get off the rails? And for the Braves, it's an opportunity to just keep pushing them further back. So if that run does come, they'll have some breathing room.
Gabe Burns on the WadeFord.com hotline, sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here. You know, Michael Soroka had arguably maybe his most important minor league start that he's had over these last couple of seasons. And again, I'm not so much worried about, you know, how quickly he's going to come up, but do you get the sense that the timetable is starting to move up to where he may be available sooner than later?
It certainly looks and feels that way. And I say that with an abundance of caution, like anyone would, and the Braves would as well. And Michael, same thing. Given the way that this saga has progressed, you can't say anything with too much confidence. But there's been a lot of encouraging signs with him. He's really been able to get his, you know, kind of, pardon the cliche, but get his work in down there and just build himself back up. And this team was not going to rush him. I know even when they were in Toronto, I know you know, when they had a vacant spot open for a starter, then a lot of people were like, oh, well, could Soroka, you know, wouldn't that be a great story if he came back and it was in Canada? And, yeah, I mean, of course that would have been a great story, but they're not under any pressure to rush him. And just given however you have to be so careful with this guy, it seems like we're at the point that he's almost there. And you know, again, things can change, but it does feel like we're not that far away from finally seeing him again. I would certainly say don't go in with any kind of sizable expectations, because I just don't think that's fair at this point, because we simply do not know what he's going to provide. We know what he provided before the injury, and the fact that he's even going to be back out there at all will be a remarkable story. But, I mean, look, if he can come and just be a steady guy who can cover some innings and give this team a shot, given, you know, the state of their rotation and what they've been dealing with, that'd be a huge win.
How funny was it to see Freddie and Jason Hayward teammates again?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't that feel like it was so long ago?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it's amazing the two paths those guys took. You know, we all thought that Hayward was going to be the one that kind of had Freddie's career here, right? And to see the way that, you know, those two careers have gone, it's been really fascinating. And look, they're both really good guys, and we'll see. You know, are the Braves going to see them in October? That'd be a pretty big story, but we got a lot of time until we're there.
Let's bounce around a little bit. Falcons obviously in their OTAs, and you know, a lot of optimism right now. I mean, I was reading an article on NFL.com that the Falcons are the team that a lot of folks are jumping on the bandwagon for, that they feel like they can win the you know, NFC South and could be one of the better teams and certainly a playoff team this upcoming season. I've said, Gabe, that I really think that the first thing I'm going to look at is, they have to be, with all of the weapons they have on offense, they need to be an elite red zone team, that they need to be a 67% touchdown ratio red zone type of team. Offensively, how do you see this team performing? There certainly is a lot of weapons, and Desmond Ridder is going to have a lot of things to, you know, listen, hand off, throw to. I mean, he's got a whole plethora of people that he's got behind him.
I completely agree, because when you look at especially the size that they have, there's no excuse. And when you have Algier and Robinson as well, there's no excuse. You have to be a great red zone team. And the way that this team is going to play stylistically, the reality is you're going to be in a lot of close games. You know, when you're emphasizing running the ball, and I mean, they're going to play a lot of close games. So red zone efficiency is going to be paramount. So London, Pitts, I mean, we know the names. I think the story's really simple. You're going to find out if Ridder's your guy. And that's, I mean, everything else is great. There's plenty of reason for optimism. There's lots of sexy fantasy football talk with this team. The defense should be much improved. But, I mean, they've set Ridder up here, and it's a great thing for him, and it's a good thing for the franchise, because they're going to take a look at this. And if it doesn't happen, they'll be able to pivot, and the next guy is going to have plenty to work with as well. So, I mean, you nailed it. Or he's going to have a lot to work with. And the red zone efficiency, how they perform there, I mean, no, it's not hyperbole. That's it. That's their season right there. Because, again, this team, just the way that they're built and the way they play, they're going to be in a lot of close games.
And I'll tell you, Gabe, you know, when you look at their schedule, it is obviously a last-place schedule. But they're, besides the Falcons themselves, the whole division and most of the teams that they play, there are so many questions. I mean, again, we don't know what Jordan Love and the Packers are going to look like. I know they've got players, but are they going to be the same as they were under Aaron? I mean, you know, Arizona is one of the worst rosters in the NFL, but anytime you go out west to try to play that team, they could be pretty good. You know, they obviously the division is just a jumbled mess right now. Like, when you look at their schedule, there's just so many questions about, okay, who could be good? Who may not be good? I mean, I don't really have a handle on how many good teams that there really are on the Falcons' schedule this year.
And you know what is so funny about that is there are shows all across America in the NFC saying this exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the conference, I mean, there's really – you feel good about the Eagles, you feel good about Dallas, and you feel good about San Francisco, their quarterback situation notwithstanding. But, I mean, I don't think anyone would be shocked if, like, Seattle took a step back after, you know, a surprising year. Same thing for the Giants. They surprised last year. Sometimes these teams take a step back. There's not really much to feel great about. And for a team like the Falcons that is theoretically moving up with all the moves they made, that's great news. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for a lot of teams. Like, Arizona's got the worst roster in the league by far. But you're right. You know, you don't know. You're going out there. You just don't know. And then in the NFC South, my rule with this stuff is that these bad divisions sometimes, they don't stay that way. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these teams wins 10, the other wins 9. Like, it's going to be better than it was a year ago. And you look around the NFC, I mean, there's going to have to be a couple of surprise teams. And I don't even know if the Falcons would be fairly considered a surprise team at this point because of the buzz and because of what they've done, but they're certainly in great position to be one of those that jumps from out of the mix into the playoffs.
So I have said repeatedly on my show that there are two questions that I want to ask Tony Ressler. I want to sit down and put the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around him for two questions. Number one is, are we going in the luxury tax this year? I know all the hyperbole about when it's right, when it's proper, this, that, and the other. Okay, I know the talking points, but are we going in the luxury tax this year? Because currently the roster is in the luxury tax as it stands right now. That's the first question. And then, what is Quinn Snyder's pecking order as far as player personnel goes? That's the two questions I have for Tony Ressler. How do you think you answer those two questions?
Well, as far as the luxury tax goes, you just said, you know, oh, when the time is right. I'll ask, if the time is not right now, when exactly is the time right? And I know that people would go, oh, well, this team is not a, you know, they're not a top three seed, they're not a favorite. But in order to get there, you're gonna have to be in the tax.
Yep.
Especially with what you've already invested in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery's show live on this Thursday evening with you. There's a lot of things happening. Falcons are in OTA. Braves with a good win last night against the Dodgers. Now open up a big series against Philadelphia. Hawks, obviously. We're trying to figure out what the offseason is going to bring. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Gabe Burns. He's the sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. And he's on Twitter at Gabe Burns AJC. Gabe, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes with us tonight.
Absolutely. Always happy to come on.
Well, I don't want to put too much into one particular game, but it did feel like last night was a game that the Braves really needed to win. I mean, obviously there's been struggles in the regular season the last couple of years against the Dodgers. Bryce Elder was really good last night, but that felt like a game that they just needed to kind of get off the schneid heading into this Philadelphia series.
You know, that's exactly what I told somebody right after it ended. I was like, man, they really needed that one. And I'm the king of kind of downplaying baseball in May, honestly. There's just not a lot of benefit to freaking out one way or another typically. But it did feel, you know, when when Ozzie hits that sack fly, it did feel like a relief, right? And we know there's a strong history between these two clubs. And outside of the Braves getting them in 21, I mean, this team has really had a ton of success against the Braves. And there's not many teams who could say that since 2018. So it did feel, again, like, look, they had what I considered the worst series they've played in years in Toronto. And then they bounced back against Texas and Seattle, who we know are two good teams. This series, though, it felt like a letdown. You know, when you have Stone and Miller there, this felt like a series that you should have taken 2 out of 3. But the fact you weren't swept, you could just tell, even in just seeing the celebration last night, it really did. It felt like just a sigh of relief.
You know, Gabe, I think this is a big series starting with Philadelphia for this next 4 games. I mean, if you can take 3 out of 4, you really put a gut punch into Philadelphia, and they start to get, you know, pretty far behind. I mean, considering that you have to overcome 3 teams if you're going to win the division. But if Philadelphia can come in here and maybe take 3 out of 4, all of a sudden this gets to be a tight division race. It just feels like that this – I don't want to say it's going to define the season or anything like that. I mean, I'm not trying to be over the top. But there really does feel like this could be a swing series for these two clubs, you know, depending on which way this thing goes.
It's an important one. And I will say – when we look back on last year, there were several series against the Mets that we kind of pinpointed as, you know, this one's important for one or the other. And obviously, those two teams kind of traded blows, and then there at the very end, the Braves wound up winning it. But so you don't know how things are going to progress. But for where we are right now, this does feel big, and it's a heck of an opportunity for the Braves. to really kind of just keep pushing the Phillies back, because I think the assumption that we're all making, and this might not come to fruition, but we're all making an assumption that this Phillies team is going to really wake up at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hit their stride. They're going to come. And at that point, it's just a matter of, you know, are the Braves going to be 8 or 9 games up at that point? Or is this going to be a 4 or 5 game difference where the Phillies can really close? So that when we're talking about, when I'm on here again in August and September and we're talking about all this, you know, these games do, they have a big effect. And the Phillies just, they have not played their best, nowhere close to it. I think we know the player Trey Turner is, certainly Braves fans know with all the damage he's done to them over the years. And he has not been that guy yet. So there's a lot of things that haven't clicked for them. We're assuming eventually it will. But this is a big weekend as far as, yeah, can Philadelphia kind of keep this thing close and not, you know, let it get off the rails? And for the Braves, it's an opportunity to just keep pushing them further back. So if that run does come, they'll have some breathing room.
Gabe Burns on the WaitForIt.com hotline, sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here. You know, Michael Soroka had arguably maybe his most important minor league start that he's had over these last couple of seasons. And again, I'm not so much worried about, you know, how quickly he's going to come up, but do you get the sense that the timetable is starting to move up to where he may be available sooner than later?
It certainly looks and feels that way. And I say that with an abundance of caution, like anyone would, and the Braves would as well. And Michael, same thing. Given the way that this saga has progressed, you can't say anything with too much confidence. But there's been a lot of encouraging signs with him. He's really been able to get his, you know, kind of, pardon the cliche, but get his work in down there and just build himself back up. And this team was not going to rush him. I know even when they were in Toronto, I know, you know, when they had a vacant spot open for a starter, then a lot of people were like, oh, well, could Soroka, you know, wouldn't that be a great story if he came back and it was in Canada? And, yeah, I mean, of course that would have been a great story, but they're not under any pressure to rush him. And just given however you have to be so careful with this guy, it seems like we're at the point that he's almost there. And, you know, again, things can change, but it does feel like we're not that far away from finally seeing him again. I would certainly say don't go in with any kind of sizable expectations, because I just don't think that's fair at this point, because we simply do not know what he's going to provide. We know what he provided before the injury. And the fact that he's even going to be back out there at all will be a remarkable story. But, I mean, look, if he can come and just be a steady guy who can cover some innings and give this team a shot, given, you know, the state of their rotation and what they've been dealing with, that'd be a huge win.
How funny was it to see Freddie and Jason Hayward teammates again?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't that feel like it was so long ago?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it's amazing the two paths those guys took. You know, we all thought that Hayward was going to be the one that kind of had Freddie's career here, right? And to see the way that, you know, those two careers have gone, it's been really fascinating. And look, they're both really good guys, and we'll see. You know, are the Braves going to see them in October? That'd be a pretty big story, but we got a lot of time until we're there.
Let's bounce around a little bit. Falcons obviously in their OTAs, and you know, a lot of optimism right now. I mean, I was reading an article on NFL.com that the Falcons are the team that a lot of folks are jumping on the bandwagon for, that they feel like they can win the NFC South and could be one of the better teams and certainly a playoff team this upcoming season. I've said, Gabe, that I really think that the first thing I'm going to look at is, they have to be, with all of the weapons they have on offense, they need to be an elite red zone team, that they need to be a 67% touchdown ratio red zone type of team. Offensively, how do you see this team performing? There certainly is a lot of weapons, and Desmond Ridder is going to have a lot of things to, you know, listen, hand off, throw to. I mean, he's got a whole plethora of people that he's got behind him.
I completely agree, because when you look at especially the size that they have, there's no excuse. And when you have Algier and Robinson as well, there's no excuse. You have to be a great red zone team. And the way that this team is going to play, stylistically, the reality is you're going to be in a lot of close games. You know, when you're emphasizing running the ball, and I mean, they're going to play a lot of close games, so red zone efficiency is going to be paramount. So London, Pitts, I mean, we know the names. I think the story's really simple. You're going to find out if Ritter's your guy. And that's, I mean, everything else is great. There's plenty of reason for optimism. There's lots of sexy fantasy football talk with this team. The defense should be much improved. But, I mean, they've set Ritter up here, and it's a great thing for him, and it's a good thing for the franchise because they're going to take a look at this. And if it doesn't happen, they'll be able to pivot, and the next guy is going to have plenty to work with as well. So, I mean, you nailed it. Or he's going to have a lot to work with. And the red zone efficiency, how they perform there, I mean, no, it's not hyperbole. That's it. That's their season right there because, again, this team, just the way that they're built and the way they play, they're going to be in a lot of close games.
And I'll tell you, Gabe, you know, when you look at their schedule, it is obviously a last-place schedule. But they're, besides the Falcons themselves, the whole division and most of the teams that they play, there are so many questions. I mean, again, we don't know what Jordan Love and the Packers are going to look like. I know they've got players, but are they going to be the same as they were under Aaron? I mean, you know, Arizona is one of the worst rosters in the NFL, but anytime you go out west to try to play that team, they could be pretty good. You know, they obviously the division is just a jumbled mess right now. Like, when you look at their schedule, there's just so many questions about, okay, who could be good? Who may not be good? I mean, I don't really have a handle on how many good teams that there really are on the Falcons' schedule this year.
And you know what is so funny about that is there are shows all across America in the NFC saying this exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the conference, I mean, there's really – you feel good about the Eagles, you feel good about Dallas, and you feel good about San Francisco, their quarterback situation notwithstanding. But, I mean, I don't think anyone would be shocked if, like, Seattle took a step back after, you know, a surprising year. Same thing for the Giants. They surprised last year. Sometimes these teams take a step back. There's not really much to feel great about. And for a team like the Falcons that is theoretically moving up with all the moves they made, that's great news. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for a lot of teams. Like, Arizona's got the worst roster in the league by far. But you're right. You know, you don't know. You're going out there. You just don't know. And then in the NFC South, my rule with this stuff is that these bad divisions sometimes, they don't stay that way. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these teams wins 10, the other wins 9. Like, it's going to be better than it was a year ago. And you look around the NFC, I mean, there's going to have to be a couple of surprise teams. And I don't even know if the Falcons would be fairly considered a surprise team at this point because of the buzz and because of what they've done, but they're certainly in great position to be one of those that jumps from out of the mix into the playoffs.
So I have said repeatedly on my show that there are two questions that I want to ask Tony Ressler. I want to sit down and put the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around him for two questions. Number one is, are we going in the luxury tax this year? I know all the hyperbole about when it's right, when it's proper, this, that, and the other. Okay, I know the talking points, but are we going in the luxury tax this year? Because currently the roster is in the luxury tax as it stands right now. That's the first question. And then what is Quinn Snyder's pecking order as far as player personnel goes? That's the two questions I have for Tony Ressler. How do you think you answer those two questions?
Well, as far as the luxury tax goes, you just said, you know, oh, when the time is right. I'll ask, if the time is not right now, when exactly is the time right? And I know that people would go, oh, well, this team is not a, you know, they're not a top three seed, they're not a favorite. But in order to get there, you're gonna have to be in the tax.
Yep.
Especially with what you've already invested in this team, you're gonna have to pay. You're either paying Murray, or if something's not going to work out, then you're moving parts, and whoever it is that's going to help you get to that next level, you're paying them as well. If that's multiple players, if that's another player, whatever it is, the reality is you're not going to the finals and ducking the luxury tax in most instances, barring something very rare, and that's not going to happen here because you already have, obviously, Trae Young's contract, and if you do wind up paying DeJounte. So the reality is if this team is going to eventually break through, they're just going to have to pay the tax. And whatever the roster looks like, that's just the reality of it. So that's going to happen. It's going to have to happen this year. And if you're going to maintain this team, if if you're going to have sustained success, then you're going to have to do it there as well. And as far as the players go, it seems like Quinn and Trae Young have been a nice fit so far. Mm-hmm. So as far as talking about all of the trade rumors, frankly, I know that there was the report out there the other day about the Lakers. I mean, I'm sure the Lakers are looking at everybody, whatever. That has nothing to do with what the Hawks want to do. So right now, I think it behooves you to just stick with Trae, roll into this next season and see. But the big question, it's DeJounte, and it's going to be, you know, if he's going to be a guy that sticks here long term. And that's not going to be a question that we have a quick answer for. I will say, I feel like I said this last offseason, I feel like this is the offseason that John Collins has finally moved. But frankly, I mean, I feel like 2 years from now, I could be on here and we could still be talking about John Collins getting moved, right?
So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm with you. Because at some point that, you know, the smoke becomes fire at some point. I mean, it just, you can't keep having this smoke on the fire and not get a flame for it. So we'll see what happens. You can check out all of his work at AJC.com, sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Gabe Burns joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline at Gabe Burns AJC on Twitter. Gabe, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes tonight. We will talk again here soon.
Yeah, sure thing.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.